Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A very happy Mother's Day to all of you. We're so happy that you're here. And I just want to begin today, why not? We're going to break all protocol. Raise your hand, all the moms that are here, raise your hand. Let's give our moms a big round of applause. And I'm so happy to see that moms, even though I've seen a lot of adult children with their moms here today, moms still have a big influence on their children's life because they brought their kids with them. Good for you. And we're so happy to have some of you traveling here to be with mom and traveling here and spending some time in mom's church. That's awesome that you're here. We want to welcome you. You may remember the great preacher Billy Graham. In the 50s and 60s and 70s, Billy Graham traveled all over our country to the smallest towns and the largest cities, and he had these incredible revivals and faith rallies. Sometimes they were in a big stadium, sometimes in a church, sometimes under a tent. But Billy Graham was well known, and he got to one of the towns where he was going to do a revival, and he needed a haircut. So he went to the local barber. And all over the barber shop there were flyers about the revival with Billy Graham. And so an 11-year-old boy walked up to the minister and said, are you Reverend Graham? And Reverend Graham said, yes, that's me. He says, are you coming to tonight's revival? He says, well, I want to know if it's true, because your revival says something like, you know, getting to heaven or whatever. I want to know if you're going to really teach us how to get to heaven. And so Billy Graham says, well, you got to be there, young man. You got to show up, and then we'll see. He said, but by the way, I've never been here in your town. Are you from here? Yes, I'm from here. Can you tell me where the local post office is? And the young man very eloquently and very efficiently said, yes, Reverend, you take a right here and a left, and then you go, and then behind those trees over there, you'll see the U.S. post office. And Reverend Graham was very grateful. He said, thank you so much, young man. Thank you for telling me how to get to the post office. I feel great gratitude because I really need to mail off these postcards. And I just want to know, are you coming to the revival tonight? And the young man said, well, now that I think about it, if you don't know how to get yourself to the post office, how are you going to get me to heaven? You know, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And those of us who call ourselves Christians, those of us who profess the Christian faith and say we want to be followers of Jesus, need to be very much aware of what those words mean. Because Jesus is not just offering us a roadmap. Jesus is not just giving us instructions, hey, you, it's over there, get over there. He's saying that he is the way, and that he is the truth, and that he is the life. And so ultimately, the roadmap for Christians, the way of Christians, is Jesus himself. And that's why, as followers of Jesus, we must struggle each and every day to lead Christ-like lives. Because ultimately, our goal is to be like Jesus. I don't know how many of you remember in the late 80s, early 90s, I don't know, you know, Mike Jordan was the big thing, remember? And there was this whole thing, I want to be like Mike. You remember, I want to be like Mike? Anybody remember? I want to be like Mike. Those of us who call ourselves Christians must seek to be like Christ. And when he says, I am the way, that's not just a direction on your GPS. When he says, I am the way, he is saying, By the way, I am the way. By the way, the attitudes of Christ must become our attitudes. And we must seek to follow his way. Now the first thing in today's gospel is very important. Because the first thing Jesus says is, do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Have faith. You know, many times we say, yeah, I believe. Amen. Yeah. I'm a Christian. Yeah. We identify ourselves as people of faith. But our attitudes don't show that we really are. We live fearful lives. And I'm not saying not to be afraid of dangers. I'm not saying not to put on your alarm, for example. Do all that. What I'm saying is this constant fear, as if God were not. As if God was not watching out for us or caring for us. As if our entire lives were not already in God's hands. The fact is, my friends, we can spend a lot of time with anxiety and worry and fear, and it will resolve nothing. We're wasting our time. Jesus says, I am the way. If we follow the way of Jesus, we follow the way of life. If we follow the way of Jesus, we follow everything that we need to be sure that not only we are with God, but God is with us. That's why it's so important that we cling to Jesus. And that we cling to Jesus and his words. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. I have prepared a place for you. What does it mean that God has prepared a place for us? So many times we're afraid of death, for example. And the truth is, in our culture, we all seem to be afraid of death, if you think about it. Everything that speaks of death is dark. As a matter of fact, we wear black, right? The culture tells us it's spooky and scary. But the fact is, when you talk to people who have had near-death experiences, they all tell you that the moment they began that transition to death, they saw a great light. That it was very bright and very white and not scary at all. As a matter of fact, I've even read some of those stories, and in the story, the person basically says, why did they bring me back? I was so peaceful. It was so beautiful. You know, when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he means it. And for us, it's important that we mean it when we say we believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And we must understand that if God has prepared a place for us, it means, you know, in this passing life, we have nothing to fear. Did you see the first lesson? Look at the first lesson there. In the first lesson, you've got Stephen, the first martyr of the Christian faith, the first to give his life for Christ. He was going to be stoned to death. Now, in the midst of crisis and pain, we have a tendency to be fearful, to run away, to hide. But there's something else that we do. And all of a sudden, even the person who claims to be agnostic and atheist, not believe in anything, all of a sudden, we look up and start to pray. I know many of our college students here can relate to this. Right before an exam, right before something, we start praying, right? Oh Lord, if you help me pass this exam, I will be at church every Sunday. And I will be good to everyone. And I'll obey my parents. And I'll do whatever they're asking me to do. I won't rebel anymore. And all of a sudden, we become real good Christians right before a test. The test is over. We pass. Following Sunday comes. Well, maybe I can stay home. I'll go next week. What I mean is, We turn to God, and that's good that we turn to God in times of crisis. But notice what Stephen does. He says, Lord, receive my spirit and do not hold this sin against them. Not only was he able to offer himself to God, but he was able to forgive those who were about to take his life. Why do you think he was able to do that? Because he wanted to be Christ-like. What did Jesus say on the cross? Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was repeating the words of Jesus, and his attitudes became the attitudes of Christ. If we live in fear, we're not living Christ-like lives. If we allow worry and anxiety to take over our lives, we're not living Christ-like lives. And if we're extremely fearful of what could happen to us, ultimately, the greatest end of the human condition is death. We're not paying attention. Because in this Easter gospel, in this Easter message we just heard, it clearly says that God is preparing a place for you and me. That we have nothing to be worried about. That God, who knows everything, is preparing a place for us. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. Now we have to make a decision. And the decision we have to make as followers of Jesus is, are we going to passively follow Jesus or actively follow Jesus? Because the Lord doesn't say, I am the way sometimes. I am the truth sometimes. I am the life sometimes. No, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's pretty clear. And if we're going to follow God's way, it means that we have to put aside those attitudes and those things that lead us away from the way of Christ, away from the way of Jesus. Sometimes what comes natural is not what God wants us to do. We have a tendency in our lives to act emotionally and not rationally. And God gave us this to think. I know I have to do that all the time. If I do something just out of what I feel emotionally, it usually goes wrong. But if I think about it, if I take a deep breath, and count to 10, it usually helps me to act the way that God would want me to act. So my friends, it's not enough to say Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We must act as followers of Jesus in a way that shows that we are committed to that way, that we are committed to that truth, that we are committed to that life. For ultimately, that's where God wants us to go. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.